Energy. This is Dr. Herbert Albarelli, Dean of the University of Healing here in Campo, California, with a thought for today, talking about energy. What do you know about energy? What do you know about energy and what energy is all about? We like to say that the world is energy. We like to say that the world is pure energy, that the world is just energy, and that we are utilizing it all the time. But are we using energy all the time? Yes, we are. In negative and positive ways, we're using energy to accomplish whatever we want to accomplish. And energy works for us exactly the way we have it work. Now, as I was walking along my path this morning, as I often walk on my path, my stories take off from my path, I was thinking how wonderful it would be if everyone could take their dreams and make their dreams come true and have whatever it is that they think about take place in their life. I was thinking, wouldn't that be wonderful? And then I was thinking about the fact that that's exactly what everybody is doing. Everybody is getting exactly what they're thinking about. Now, I attempt to impress upon the minds of my friends that thoughts are things. Now, I'm perhaps the first person to ever mention this, that thoughts are things, but thoughts are things. Now, my ex-wife and I went to a movie in Santa Cruz the other night, and the movie was Superman Returns, or The Return of Superman, or something. And it was the most gosh-awful, miserable, disgusting movie that I have seen in my life. Not that it's not well done, it's not beautifully done, but they had the overkill of Lois Lane not liking Clark Kent. Actually, she was madly in love with him and madly in love with Superman. And she had a baby, and the baby was from Superman. But she thought it was, she told everybody it was from the man that she was living with. And the man that she was living with thought it was from him. And so, in any event, Superman run into his old friend, Luther Lexer, or Lexer Luther, whatever it is. And Mr. Luther was just as bad as always, and a little more flamboyant, but bad. And his girlfriend was the ploy, and she helped Superman escape, you know. And she did a few other things that put Lex out of business. And so Luther, or Lexer, Lex Luthor, was going to do the most important thing in the world. He said, I'm going to destroy the United States. And I'm going to put in its place a new continent. And it will be my continent. And then I will be in charge. But first, I have to get rid of Superman because Superman is so terrible. And so he goes through all of these machinations to go through, get rid of Superman. Really, he's a brilliant, brilliant, brilliant man, but he is working in a totally unbrilliant way. And the things that he does and the manners in which they accomplish these things are just really ugly, really bad. And I said to my wife two or three times during the movie, I said, you ready to go? She says, no, we paid for it. Now, this is totally different than what she had been before. When we were married, first married, and I would go to a movie that didn't turn out too good, Mark and I would sit through the movie, and she says, I'm not sitting through this thing. And she'd go out and sit in the lobby. But as time went on, she became jaded in her attitude. I mean, she was a very effective lady in those early years, she was very effective getting anything she wanted. But as time went on, she had a few tough things happening to her, and she went to movies with people, and she watched television, and she couldn't wait to get on the news. She couldn't wait to get on to the weather report and see what the weather is, because she was worried about Mark and his flying to Oshkosh this week and going there for the EAA, Experimental Aircraft Association, fly-in. And she couldn't wait to be aware of all those things. And I said, Faith, why are you doing them? Why are you putting those things in your mind? Why don't you just instead wrap him in your pure white light of love, create him having a wonderful trip, create him having the most beautiful weather that he could ever have, and that cannot happen. If you're going to look at appearances, you're going to think the appearances are real, you know. And see him having a joyous time, and so forth. And she said, but I got to know the facts. I said, oh. So now you're with the facts. Now you're with the appearances. I said, that's tough. But back to me on the path. As I was walking along the path, I was thinking, if I had a gift that I could give to anybody, it would be the gift of letting them have their thoughts be things. But be careful then. Letting them have their thoughts be things, but letting them be guided by their highest and best thoughts.
Oh, yeah.
Because you see, we're oftentimes guided by our ordinary thoughts. We're oftentimes guided by our lesser energy. The energy doesn't care how it is used. It can be an atomic bomb, or it can be atomic energy for electric power and all sorts of good things, you know. But it doesn't care how it's used. But you are the one that has to determine how it's going to be used. So now, Newsweek magazine, Businessweek magazine, continually has stories about the richest men in the world, you know, and how they're, what's his name?
Buffett.
Yeah, Warren Buffett is giving $11 billion to Bill Gates and his fund, and has a picture of him holding up the $11 billion worth of stock in his stock company that he's sending up to Minneapolis for some reason. And it's going to be up there by courier. $11 billion stock certificate. I mean, my goodness. Well, there's no doubts about that. So, the thoughts are constantly in the mill. Now, what are other people going to do? What are other people going to do because they hear that Bill Gates is such a good person working with this? Well, now, Bill Gates has been working on his Microsoft company. And on this Microsoft company, he is subject to the federal laws, the state laws, the international laws, and people pick on him. And really, all that he ever wanted to do was just to put out software and have a good time doing it. But now it's getting sticky. And he says, I don't want anything more to do with that. So he turns it over to his corporation and his partners, and not partners, but his managers and so forth who are running it. He'll keep a finger in, but he's getting out of there. No longer will he go to bat for Microsoft. No longer will he go to court and stand up for these things. Now he'll have his special corporation, the foundation, to give out money. Now, I don't think that he's going to let that worry him. I don't think he's going to let that worry him on how he gives out these billions of dollars that he has. He's not going to bother him at all. He's just going to do what he thinks is right. He's just going to flow with what he thinks is good. He's going to go with large activities that can use the money best to accomplish great goods in his mind, and he won't be concerned at all. But now, what would you, what would we do if we got that money to control? First thing we'd do is buy ourselves a house, and buy ourselves a car, and buy ourselves health insurance, or buy our, no, really, and all these neat little things, you know. And we get all these things so that we would protect ourselves and have a place to be. And how silly, how utterly silly. There's no reason to do things like that, because your primary idea is what?
To be yourself and have fun.
How can I spend this money being myself and having fun? How can I spend this money being myself and having fun? Okay, so I'm going to invest in a project that is over in Spain. And the project is quite a good project. I feel very comfortable. So I'm going to take my wife and family and move to Spain for a year and live there. And we will buy some beautiful villa over there and some lovely place, and we will operate from there. And I'll look into that company, to see what the background is on it. And but he's not going to do that. He's going to buy a castle in Switzerland, and he's going to live in Switzerland. And then he's going to come to Spain when they don't know he's there, and he's going to investigate the company and check it out more incognito, so that he can get the information without being concerned. Otherwise, people would be on his door, knocking on his door, Bill, got a buck, And he doesn't want that. That's not what he's there for. He's having fun. So his greatest joy probably will be to be incognito, to be unrecognized. Now, many people would like to be recognized. They'd like somebody to appreciate who they are and be who they are. But, you see, what would you do? What would you do if you could speak your word and accomplish what you want to accomplish? Whether it's money, whether it's health, whether it's anything in the world. What would you do if you could accomplish what you want by speaking your word? You know what you'd do? You would be very careful what you speak your word about. You'd be very careful what you speak your word about, because you got these three wishes. You're rubbing Aladdin's lamp. You got these three wishes. Now you could say, I wish that I had all the wishes in the world, all the wishes I could ever want. Okay, but you got these three wishes, and that's it. So now, what are you going to do? Actually, you have an infinite number, but what are you going to do? Are you going to say, for me, one of the greatest and most wonderful things in the world would be peace on earth. Peace on earth, eternal peace on earth, Eternal peace on earth. Now, are you a human being? Would you think that peace on earth was a wonderful thing? And the answer is no. The answer is no. You would think a beautiful castle in Spain is much more interesting than peace on earth. But just think, if you could say, there now is peace on earth eternally, and it began with me, Wow. Of course, if that were the case, peace on earth would be on earth, and nobody would know what brought peace on earth, and you wouldn't know that you brought it on earth, and you wouldn't know that you'd spoken your word and had it accomplished. Now, this is something to think about. You don't know when you speak your word and have it accomplished, except that some things happen to you sometimes you don't like, and some things happen to you that you do like. But you don't know. You don't know that you really spoke your word, because you do not have the courage to take credit for the blessings that you give to people. Do you pray or speak your word for somebody and say, I see you whole and perfect? And then when they come back and are whole and perfect, you say, oh, that's wonderful. And they say, yeah, I did a good job. And you don't even think that you did it, because you don't take credit for it. But you see, the time to take credit for anything is at the moment you do it. You say, there now is peace on earth, and it began with me. Ah, that's great. Now, let's see what should I go and do next. That's wish number one out of three. And number two, there is peace, harmony, and health. You can name a few more things, and abundance and right action, all these things on earth right now. Wouldn't that be something? Yeah. Wow. And for everybody, including me, for everybody. Now, would it have to be that the wars all end and that problems all end and the difficulties of the world are all ended? No. What What are you shaking your head? No, you don't know what I'm going to say. No, no, no. It would not mean that. It would mean that they don't exist. They don't exist.
They have never been.
They have never been. And you see, that's the big point. That's spiritual healing. They have never been. And you see, when they have never been, you never know that they were. And you never know that they are, but were, you know, because are now is different. Are is a clearer job. Well, if I could take each one of you behind the woodshed and pound a little sense into you and say to you, watch your words, watch your thoughts. Thoughts are things, and every thought you think is coming true in your life. And if you're having a happy life, it's because you're having happy thoughts. I live in a pretty rugged world that many of you know about. And it's a pretty rough world. It's a pretty unhappy world sometimes, not mine. But my attitude about it all is I am a happy man. I am peaceful. And I know the truth about myself. And that's all that matters. I don't have to prove the truth about myself to anybody else. I don't have to go out and hold up a banner and say, but, you know. I just live my life in such a beautiful way that everyone who looks at me says, oh, that's the person you are, is the person I see. Can you see that?
Yeah.
Now, Sylvie, what do they say about you? When they look at you, do they say, that's the person you are, is the person they see? And you, Ingeborg, when they look at you and they see you bandaged up eyes and bandaged up knees and bandaged up hip and bandaged up this, do they look at you and say, that's the person you are and that's the person you are? Or is that past?
That's past.
What is now?
All perfect.
I'm sorry?
All perfect.
I'm whole and perfect now. All is perfect, yeah. All is perfect is rather generous, but that's good too. Now, what about Ellen? When we look at Ellen, do we find a little old worried grandmother that's growing gray hairs over her grandchildren, worrying about them riding their bikes and doing things like that? No, we're not concerned about that at all. All we're concerned about is that Ellen's concerned about is that all is in divine order. And all is in divine order, and that's all that matters, doesn't it?
It's true.
Okay, now, what are you going to do about it?
It's done.
And are you going to tell stories about the difficulties, even though, as far as you're concerned, they turned out nice? And you said to Ingeborg that she shouldn't say anything about inconvenient. Okay, and well, now, you told the story of your son-in-law and your three grandchildren taking a bike trip to Mallorca. Wasn't that where it went?
Menorca.
And it was some several thousand kilometers or whatever it was. And they had a wonderful trip. And when they got there, they had the biggest party. They didn't shoot champagne on them because it would be sticky. They shot water on them, fizz water, and a big Spanish flag to greet them. And they had a wonderful time. A wonderful time. But what did Ellen tell us?
Hi.
She told us that the youngest man, he didn't want to ride the west way. The wind was against him. And he had to cut out. And that wasn't important. The important thing is he went all the way. How many times have you ever given up in the middle of something while you're doing it? And you want everybody to know about it? No, none of us want that. We only want to speak our word that all is in divine order at all times and right here, and that's all that matters. And if we're going to report the incidents, you know, of her grandson wanting to turn back because the wind was getting too heavy for him, what was he, 8 or 10 or 12 or 15 years old or something like that, and riding his bike all those distance with his dad and his older brothers, you know, you just light, you know, but finally the wind shifted and he changed. But we don't need to know that. That's human. We felt, oh, wasn't that wonderful? that the wind shifted and that he was able to go on. No. The wonderful thing is that he started and he finished by his choice. And he did it because he chose to. You know? And he had some regrets in the middle, but he quickly got rid of them. But you see, thoughts are things. And we have the pure energy of the universe working with us on our thoughts. And if we want those thoughts to be effective and beneficial, we have to be very, very careful. We don't talk about any human ideas that it's hot or it's cold or it's nice or it's bad, you know. The minute we do that, we are empowering those things, and then we are no longer universal. We're no longer the all. But that's what it's all about. Well, think about these things and give them some power and realize that your thoughts are pure energy. And the point that you want to do is direct your thoughts to the place you want to go to accomplish the things you want to accomplish. So have a lovely day, and I'll get you behind the woodshed again another time, and we'll talk about getting our thoughts in order. I love you. I love you. I love you.
I love you.